Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beat and Track podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today's episode, I sit down with Liza Owen. And it's a great chat. I catch up with Liza from her home in LA. And we have a really, really nice natter. We talk about growing up in the sticks and then relocating to London and music from all over the world is talked about on this episode. So, you're in for a treat, trust me. Before I get on with that chat, some thank yous. Big thanks to Scroobius Pip and all my friends at the Distraction Pieces Network. Thank you to 76 for producing this podcast. And thanks to you lot for continuing to support it and share it and tweet about it and send me lovely messages about it. So thanks huge amounts. Also, if this is your first time listening to Off the Beaten Track, then when you finish this episode and this lovely chat with Liza, then go and have a look in the archive, because there's 300 episodes now and you can hear me talking to artists and actors and musicians and DJs and producers as diverse as, gosh, Maxine Peake through to Fatboy Slim, through to Tommy Lee from Motley Crue, Foo Fighters, Fatboy Slim, Ed Gamble, James Acaster, Gary Kemp. Gosh, there's so many. And go and have a look, because I'm sure you'll find loads of chats from artists that you're interested in. And trust me, they've all got such a passion for music and talking about it. And so I'm privileged that I get to sit in the room and have them chats with them. So, yeah, and thanks to you lot for supporting the podcast. Obviously, that's a given. If you'd like to support it in any other way, then you can. I would direct you over to Patreon. It's www.patreon.com/offthebeatandtrack. And over there, you can get loads of video episodes. You can get 200 or so back catalogue episodes, radio shows, and all sorts of stuff from as little as 79p a month. And it just goes in the pot and helps support the podcast. So thank you. Okay, I think we're done. Everything that I've just spoke about, you can find out about all of that and more on www.offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. That's the website. I don't know why I just read out a web address and felt obligated to explain to you that that's a website. I think we're all that switched on with technology now that when I say something that starts with www and finishes in com, it's probably a website. Sorry about that. Anyway, let's get to the good stuff. Please enjoy Off the Beat and Track podcast with Liza Owen. Right, I've got to take a quick break in this podcast because I've got some super exciting news. Off the Beat and Track podcast is proud to go into partnership with the Cacao Bar from Hotel Chocolat. That's right. The Cacao Bar is not a chocolate bar. It's all the best bits of a chocolate bar put into a really exciting new alcoholic range. That's right. Gin, vodka, and a beautiful range of cream liqueurs. So one of the big bonuses of this partnership is obviously I'm super thrilled to have Hotel Chocolat working with us, but they sent me a great big box of this stuff. And I'm telling you, it's amazing. Go and check it out, www.hotelchocolat.com, or over on the socials at Hotel Chocolat. But yeah, in the coming months, there's going to be opportunities for you to get involved with competitions with us, to win bottles of stuff. There's loads of exciting things coming soon, and I can't be more happy to say that this podcast is in partnership with the Cacao Bar from Hotel Chocolat. All right, let's get back to the podcast. It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whippin. Okay, we are recording. Joining me today via the means of Zoom, Liza Owen. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right. So we've put this back. This was meant to have been happening a few minutes ago, but literally as you joined the call, builders started making a right old racket outside your house.
Yeah, builders, gardeners, like industrial grade lawnmowers. Just it wasn't the peaceful podcast we were aiming for.
Sounds very tranquil now. And so where are we chatting from today, Liza? Where are you?
So I'm in LA. I'm in this beautiful little mountain town, like somewhere in the Malibu Mountains. And this is home right now. This is where I've been quarantining and, making my music.
Wonderful. Well, in regards to making music over the last maybe sort of 13, 14 months, before we get into your playlist, I just want to ask you how you found the pandemic, and was you in LA for all of it? And just how you found it as Liza Owen, human being, and Liza Owen, creative?
Emotional roller coaster for both on a human level and musically. I mean, yeah, look, on a human level, it's just been crazy. It's been really, really hard. I think everyone can relate to that. You know, all my family, I just haven't seen them in over a year at this point. So that's been really, really tough. But, you know, luckily I'm in an industry where, you know, it's not necessarily monthly checks that you rely on to live. So I've like had the comfort to be able to, you know, live, make music, continue to work. So I feel incredibly lucky and grateful for that. And then, you know, on a musical level, I think that was like, you know, the way I make music, it's very, very, very in tune with how I'm just feeling personally, and I can't like turn it on and switch it off whenever. So when I was like freaking out and losing my mind, boredom, whatever, cabin fever, all that stuff, it was a weird time for me to make music. And then I kind of just accepted the flow of things and accepted the not knowing and kind of tried to find some beauty in the not knowing. And I was able to start writing again. And, you know, I hadn't given myself the time to just write completely alone at home for a long time. You know, I'm always in the studio with at least one other person, you know, at least another person. So, you know, some cool stuff came out of that. But, you know, I got some cool ideas, a couple cool songs from that. I lent in. I was definitely able to work, but I'm a big energy person. So, and I really feed off of that collaboration in the room. Like I love that. So it's nice to be able to kind of get back to it now.
I think that's been a very similar sort of story to so many artists that I've spoke to over this last year, that none of them just thought, right, okay, so the world's stopping turning, so I'm just going to write, because there was, and it was what you said about the not knowing. That's the bit that I thought was really surreal. And I think, I just think you've done it right. I think kind of process what's going on a bit. And then when your mind's adjusted and calm, then the writing start. But I think that knee-jerk reaction of just like, because for so many like musicians that all of a sudden they're not touring, it's like, oh, I haven't got to go out and do anything. So, right, I'm going to write an album. And it's like, it's not that easy to do it like that.
Yeah. Well, an interesting, you know, I was talking to one of my friends yesterday. She's also an artist and musician. Her name's Chloe Angelides. And we were just talking about how, you know, so much of our identity is wrapped up in music. That's who we are. We live it, we breathe it. And then when, to an extent, that's taken away, you know, like on a daily day functioning level, it's like, okay, what's left? And, you know, I was like forced, and I think this was a positive, to kind of like, just like recenter and get in touch with myself as a human. Like, what else do I like? What else am I passionate about? Yeah. And allowing myself the time to do those things. Like, a lot of people can relate to this, but I did every goddamn hobby. Like, I was a painter one week. I was a gardener the next week. I'm like, you know, sewing. I'm like, you know, Jamie Oliver, like cooking, like all these things. I just like allowed myself time to learn new shit. And
yeah,
like being a kid again, you know. Yeah. That was kind of cool for a few months there. Just
okay, well, let's talk records. So, Liza, for track one, I'm going to ask you to tell me the song that you regard as having the greatest ever intro, please.
Okay. None other than It's Gotta Be Smells Like Teen Spirit, Nirvana.
Okay.
Come on.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's one of the greatest intros ever, right? And one of the greatest opening tracks on an album as well. It's a masterpiece. So tell me about how you heard that, and tell me the kind of impact that for someone like myself who's 48, I caught Nirvana when I was 18, which was the most exciting thing on the planet. You know, so I just wonder how other generations kind of how much of an impact Nirvana has on them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it basically I have an older brother, and a lot of my music taste, you know, has kind of trickled down from him throughout the years. But he, you know, he loved rock, grunge, punk music, and he loved Nirvana. And he, you know, at some point he was like learning to play the guitar, and he would just, I would just like, I heard the riff coming from his bedroom, that amazing intro. And I was like, what the fuck is this? This is so cool. And, you know, at that time I was like, you know, I was like into kind of badass chicks who were, you know, in that kind of space, like Alanis Morissette, but then even like Avril Lavigne. Like, this is, I'm talking like I'm 12 years old, and I'm like, she was the coolest thing ever. And then I hear that, and I was like, what? And then, so he actually played it to me the first time I heard it. And then I was like, oh, I was just mind blown. I was like, this is the coolest thing. It was definitely at that age, the hardest stuff that, you know, rock music, grunge music that I'd been into. And then, like, I don't know, you know, I started changing the way I dressed after that. I just, like, you know, it kind of just opened the door even more to that genre, really. Such a cool song.
It's such a cool song. I was really lucky to get to speak to Butch Vig, who produced that record. And I heard him describe it once as, after that initial guitar lick, when the drums drop, he said it's like being in a house as it's collapsing on top of you. And I just thought, he's fucking nailed it there. It sounds exactly like that. It's, you know, there's much, much kind of more raucous and bigger sounding metal records. But I think as far as rock records go, that the minute that the drums kick on that track, it's just heavy as you like. Yeah. And it's so much melody as well.
I think that's the beauty of it. It's the contrast from those, you know, heavy drums to that.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
And like that, obviously, iconic guitar riff. It's fun. I don't know if you know if this is true or not, but I was reading, I think it was like a Rolling Stone interview or something that Kurt did, and he said basically that he was trying to make like a pop song, the biggest pop song, and that essentially they, you know, he was like, I was like ripping off the Pixies, like their energy. I just thought, I was like, damn, he was trying to make a pop song.
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like. It's like, just really cool. I mean, for him, I guess the melodies, what's pop? That's a whole other.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? That, like, what, you know, what is your definition of pop? And for me, as a someone that sort of DJed sort of alternative music clubs all my life, that album, Nevermind, I think is one of the greatest pop records ever made, because whether it's Teen Spirit, whether it's In Bloom, whether it's Come As You Are, whether it's Lithium, I can put any track from that album on in my club, and I could have done it in 1992 and I can do it in 2021, and 18-year-old kids are going to lose their shit to it, because it's got, it's just full of hooks. And they're the masters of the quiet lad, and like, because every chorus drops like a bomb. And and I just think it's just some, there's a vulnerability in his voice that, that I think, you know, outsiders and the weird and wonderful and the freaks and geeks, they relate. And I just think like that band is as important now as they were then.
I'm so jealous that you were 18 when that came out. You just like actually got to like live it.
It was a crazy.
Oh, congratulations.
It was really cool. It was like, I mean, I'd love to say that at the time, I'm sure we thought we was being like really different, but every single one of us had long hair, shorts, Doc Martens, skateboards, lumberjack shirts, and we thought we were being really different. There was millions of us.
I mean, you know, what's interesting is you obviously didn't know how iconic it was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff that we're listening to now, we know, you know, I know what I love and I know what makes me feel and what millions of other people love, but you don't really know what's going to stand the test of time.
Well, I think that's an interesting conversation insofar as, like, how many bands have been releasing records for, say, 30 years that consistently put out something that's progressive and interesting and engaging? Even artists like David Bowie put out a few records that weren't that good. Like, you know, they've all had ups and downs in their career. And I think there's very few artists that completely deliver. And I think you always wonder, like, what would have Nirvana done? Where would they have gone?
Like, I know. That's what I was going to say. There's something to be said about, you know,
Burning Bright. And,
it's stopping at the peak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, which... there's almost sort of like more fame in that. I'm not saying that had anything to, like, the music is incredible regardless, but you know,
what happened
memorialized forever at this peak.
100% at 27, you know, that
Like,
weird age that club is, it's full of a lot of famous people, but, okay. Well, look, for track two, I'm going to ask you to tell me the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you, please, Liza.
Okay. So it's Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You. And it's a few reasons. I mean, I just remember, I mean, my mum was a huge Whitney Houston fan, so it was constantly in our household. And then I remember watching The Bodyguard with her. I was like really young. She's like, you know, covering my eyes through like a couple of the scenes. But then the scene, you know, where that song comes on, I was just like, what? I just was blown away. Like, even at that young age, it really made me feel something. And just the power of like the visual and the story in the movie with that song, I was just like, oh my God. I don't even know. I'm too young to even process what I'm feeling, but it made me feel something. And then I think when I was like, what was I, 15, a boyfriend of mine passed away in a car accident. And this was the song I was asked to sing at his funeral. And I just, it just seemed perfect and fitting, and I don't know. So it's forever memorialized in my history, in my my life story, is a kind of powerful, very emotional song. But there's a lot of comfort in those words. I don't know. You can just really relate this song to a lot of, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's one of them songs that I've probably heard a million times, and if it comes on the radio, sometimes I'll be like, oh. And then the minute that chorus drops and that vocal just goes, it's like, wow, it's just every time it just delivers.
Yeah.
It's a glorious record. And what are your thoughts on Dolly's version?
Oh my God, I was literally about to say that. I'm the biggest Dolly Parton fan ever. I love it. I mean, I'm just like, I love a songwriter. Love a songwriter. And I think it's a very different version, obviously, but there's just something so beautiful about the person who wrote those words, singing them.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of listen in a different way. And I feel like, I think she wrote that about like her business manager or her manager or her label, someone in that type of work situation. And it was kind of like, you know, we got to part ways, but you know, more just a completely different, put a different perspective behind the song. But what an incredible songwriter.
Oh, ridiculous. Ridiculous. Yeah. So where was home when you was hearing records like this? Where was you growing up, Liza?
England, south of England, a small town called Headley. Not even a town, a village.
Okay.
Countryside of England, Hampshire, like that kind of area. So it was just me, my brother, and my mum, who's Cambodian. And she met my dad, who's English, moved to England. You know, they parted ways. He moved to Asia. It was a weird cultural crossing. So I kind of, you know, grew up in this very Cambodian household in the middle of a very British village.
How was that?
I mean, it was. I definitely was happy growing up, but you know, I think the older you get now, I can reflect back and be like, whoa. That was weird. Like I'm not joking when I say we were the only Asians in the village. So that came with a lot of, you know, just issues and life lessons. And I just kind of, you know, I loved it. I loved growing up in the countryside. We're always just outside playing. And I think because I grew up in this place, or maybe I didn't relate to a lot of the people. I sort of was delved inwards. And I think it's a big part of why, you know, I discovered music so early, like before really finding my voice, just even piano. Like I just would also just sit at home listening to music for hours and hours. It was cool. I don't know. Tricky. I couldn't wait to get out. Okay. No, I was, you know, look, at 17, I was like on the first train out of there.
Listen up. I've only got another new sponsor, Egg Fried. It's this super cool clothing label. And if you're into sort of skating and street art and gigging and kind of like really cool art and throwing a little bit of Asian culture and the designer's kind of weird sense of humour in the mix, then you're pretty much there with the wonderful world that is eggfried.com. Now, they do these amazing punchy kind of graphic tees, hoodies and sweatshirts, beautiful art prints, as well as this, they have a denim range, all handmade in-house, all supporting the slow fashion movement. Not only that, they've given you a discount code, 10% off when you head over to eggfried.com. Just use the code EGGSALAD, EGGSALAD, save 10%. Go and get lost in the world of Egg Fried. Also, they've got a new kids range, and it's called Small Fried, and it's super cool, super cute. And again, it's all over there in this wonderful world. Go and get involved at eggfried.com. You mentioned that your brother was listening to kind of, you know, alternative rock records and stuff like that. Like, was there always music on at home? And if so, aside from that, what else was being played?
Yeah, always. I mean, my mum, very eclectic taste, but it was just like powerful voices always. But, you know, like she loved a lot of soul and Motown. She, you know, she loved Al Green, but then she loved Whitney Houston, and she loved the Bee Gees, and Dolly would be on, and then like Shania and Leanne Rimes, like before she went pop, like there was a lot of like kind of country and soul in the house, you know, and the Beatles too. And then my brother, he just, you know, straight rock, grunge, punk, you know, it was like the Chili Peppers, Nirvana, Limp Bizkit, Metallica, Rolling Stones, like all that kind of Korn for a bit. Like he just, you know, was
that's
really
a great melting pot of music though, isn't it? Like the fact that all of that's filtering through into your ears, you know, as diverse as Dolly to Korn, like, you know, that's a crazy little blend.
Yeah. It's probably for the best that Dad wasn't in the picture at that time, because we didn't need more music in there. I'm joking. Love you, Dad.
So yeah. in regards to them sort of formative years, I'm going to ask you now, Liza, to tell me a song that reminds you of your time at school, please.
Okay. So when I read this question, I was like, my mind went straight to Mr. Brightside by The Killers.
Okay.
Only because we couldn't get through one night, like one party, house party, without this song being the final song of the night. It was just like always that, you know, we're like off our faces, and it, you'd just be like jumping around, piling on each other, screaming at every lyric to the song. It was just, it just makes me, think of fond memories. A very British ending to a night.
Definitely. And it's really weird. Like my eldest is like 18, and she was saying, like, I said, oh, how was prom? This was like a couple of years ago. She was like, yeah. Like, you know, it finished with like Mr. Brightside. And I was like, how do you know Mr. Brightside?
Really?
Like, and it's like, but because for me, as I mentioned, you know, I run a venue, and I've had to DJ that record every weekend for since what, 2003 or four, whenever it came out.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where, like, we'd be taking bets how many people were going to ask for that record. And now when you think, fuck me, there's been so many alternative records out since then.
I haven't had enough.
And like, but it got to the point where I thought, I can't hear this anymore. And then about 3 years ago, I saw them on Glastonbury.
Mm.
And it was the first time I'd seen them live for a long time. And they just played it like it was the last time they were ever going to play it, or the first time they had ever played it. And the energy, and it just eradicated that whole mindset of like, oh, it's just a wedding song now. Like, you know, it's just a family party disco song. And it's like, it's a fucking perfect pop record. That's why it's still here. It's like, oh, exactly. What a chorus and what a guitar lick, you know?
Yeah. I mean, when I think about that song, and just the memories attached to it, it's like you said, just energy, aggression. It's such a, you know, powerful song. We'd just be jumping around, moshing, headbanging, and that's so funny that it was like the wedding song to you. I've never heard that at a wedding, but I love that.
So how was your time at school?
School was good. It was interesting. I mean, you know, mostly good, I would say. Like, I feel like I was never that interested. I was always like, yeah, more into like what I was doing outside of school, like music and like, I feel like my whole life, I'm realizing now, I was searching for something, or like felt like something was missing just in the place that I grew up. And
did you not know what you wanted to be at school?
No, I did. I've known that I've wanted to do music since I was like 9, 10 years old.
Yeah.
I've been one track minded. So that, I mean, that obviously played a big part in just not being necessarily that interested in school, because I just was like, I'm doing music. That's what I'm doing. And I'm not going to get it done out here is how I felt. So I think like, I just was always, you know.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Like,
did it feel... Yeah, I mean, I guess you've kind of answered what I was going to say then. Like, I was going to say, living in a village, you know, in the countryside, did it feel like this is where pop stars come from? Did it feel like it was accessible, or it was, you know, these things like happened there?
No, no way. I was like, how the fuck am I going to do this? Like, you know, because you have to understand, like, I didn't even really start going to shows until I moved out to London, because there just wasn't, you know, anything around. Like, if you wanted to go and see your favorite band or whatever, you would have to drive, like, you'd have to go up to London, or, you know, at least go to Guildford, the next biggest town. Mm. My first show was Muse. My brother took me when I was like, I think I was like 13, 14. And we went to Wembley. You know, it was like you made a trip out of it. So
how was that?
Incredible. Incredible. I was obsessed. Like, plug in, baby. That was also a contender for best intro, by the way. Like,
oh, do you know what? It's, again, it is that, just that widdly diddly guitar bit at the beginning. It's so got that kind of... When Doves Cry feel like that, with Prince. But then as soon as that bow bow bow, it kicks in, it's like
a long intro.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like, you say that, that's interesting you say that, Lisa. And I'm going to ask you this as somebody that's, you know, a new artist making music now. Mm-hmm. And I speak to lots of bands that address the fact that we're living in a world where thumbs move very quickly, and attention spans seem to be getting shorter.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I've spoke to musicians that have had number one records that have had a 20-second intro that now would no longer get mainstream radio play in the UK because of that fact alone. Yeah. And so I just wonder, when you're making music, how much of the kind of influence of technology and the, you know, the evolving means of technology influences how you put music together as an artist?
I mean, I think it's hard to ignore, like, at this point, because, you know, there are discussions happening, like, within your label. Like, you're aware of the click rate, the skip rate, yeah, and Spotify, and all these things. And you're like, wow, You know, yeah. You're seeing how short the attention span is. And, you know, there's data showing that, yeah. like, intros like this work yeah. better than intros like that. But I think you just can't let that influence you too much. I think there's a time and a place for that kind of thought process, yeah. you know, and being a bit methodical with the music for specific songs. And then there's also a time place to just be like, fuck it, this is not that record. I am, you know, this is pure feeling, and yeah. I'm not going to compromise the art for the, you know, skip rate on yeah. whatever. But, you know, then you're not going to get the right type of fans anyway, the listeners you want, the people that, you know, love your music and are seeking out, you know,
yeah.
just a beautiful piece of music will find you anyway.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Track 4. Liza, can you tell me the first song that you bought from a record shop, please?
Okay. I struggled with this one because I was like, there were a few things, but so the first, I didn't pay for it, so I don't know if this counts because okay. I was six, but I remember the first, you know, you used to be able to get like on a CD, you would be able to get a single and then like a backing track
yeah.
with it. So I got my mom, I was like, I need How Do I by Leanne Rimes. You know, I'd heard her, like, she would play it all the time. And, you know, I like had my own CD Walkman. I just gotten it. And I was like, all right, I need this. So, I asked if I could get that, and we got the CD and I had the backing track. So I would just, that was like one of the first songs I was learning to sing. Love that song.
That's a beautiful record.
Leanne Rimes before she went pop.
Yeah.
Pop. But such a beautiful song. And then the first song that I can remember buying myself, it was Complicated, Avril Lavigne. Yeah.
I mean, for teenagers and teenage girls, Complicated. I mean, what a perfect record for teenage kids to listen to.
It's still so good. I was like, the other night, I was like, yeah, it's still just, you know, as a songwriter, it's so hooky.
Yeah.
It's simple.
Yeah.
Very simple, like, lyrics, but it hits.
And she had, she was just like, she kind of sort of crossed over as well, didn't she? The, like, no pun intended, but like the alternative, like, and the skaters and that, they loved her as well. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It was like she yeah. kind of tagged into that whole kind of Blink 182 scene, and she was dating the guy from Sum 41, wasn't exactly. she? So it was like,
exactly.
It kind of, it just transcended, you know, from the pop market into the kind of, you know, the pop punk market as well.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I think that was a big part of it. That was like, you know, one of the first artists who was like, you know, kind of near my age, that I was like, I thought she was really cool. I liked the way she dressed, and it, you know, like I said, that like sort of opened the door before, you know, I had bands like Nirvana and the Chili Peppers yeah. and even Sum 41. It was kind of like, the starter kit.
Yeah, it is. It is. There's so many bands like that. I think it's really important to, you know, the amount of people I've spoke to, and I spoke to Matt from the band Busted, and they were seen as a pop band, but they were mm-hmm. a gateway for so many people, like for teenagers to listen to Busted, and then before yeah. you know it, they find Blink 182, they find Nirvana, they find yeah. Pearl Jam, and it is that gateway, and them artists like that that are aimed towards the sort of teen market, they're really important bands, because they do yeah. you know, change people's lives and take them off, you know, down a different path.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it's you know, as like a young teenager as well, it's like your parents are going to let you listen to Avril Lavigne and
yeah.
Busted. And then, yeah. Then you just like crack the door open a little bit. And
yeah,
she's so good. That album was really great. She had a lot of amazing songs around that time. What was the other one? I'm With You, the ballad.
Oh. Yeah. What was the... I'm with you.
Standing on the bridge. Oh, so emo. So God. I won a talent competition with that song, let me tell you.
Okay, right. Well, let's talk about that. So where was that?
Oh, no, your face. That was so good. You're like, wow, okay, we're not going to skip over that. I was like, yeah, it was at school, secondary school, first talent show I entered. How old was I? I don't know. I can't remember. Like, maybe like 13. Yeah, it was a school talent show. And my mum actually, like, a few months ago sent me, like, this newspaper cut out of, like, the thing. I was, like, horrified in the best way. I'm just wearing, like, this little black, like, tank top. And I've just got a tie around my neck. And, and these, like, spiky wristbands. I was like, yes, I'm going to win this. And then I, like, you know, sang I'm With You by Avril Lavigne. And it was okay, so my friend, she was meant to be doing it with me because I had never entered it before. And she said, well, let's do it together. And then we had to pull it at the last minute. I was like, I have to do this journey alone.
And you nailed it and took the glory.
I mean, I took the glory. Apparently I nailed it. I mean, there's no video evidence, but, you know, someone thought I did.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask you something now then. So at school, standing up on stage on your own and singing, to then moving to London at 17, you're a confident person.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I'm, you know, I'm very outgoing, and I love people, love being over the top, and just, I love the drama of music and the stage and all that stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
Especially being on stage. I mean, no, don't get me wrong. I get all the, like, the jitters before and get really, really nervous, and it never goes away, that feeling of, like, just being nervous. But, you know, then it quickly turns into just such a high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So moving to London at 17, I imagine it wasn't long before clubbing kind of presented itself. And so for track 5, I'm going to ask you to tell me, please, the song that soundtracked your years clubbing.
Okay. So my clubbing years actually started before then, because teenagers are smart and fake IDs are a real thing. So, I mean, there's two songs. There's like the clubbing years, like back home when we were like sneaking into clubs, and then in London, it was like a different scene. But the first song that came to mind was actually, do you remember this? Kid Cudi, Day and Night, the Crookers remix.
Crookers were on fire then. I've not heard the word crookers for about 10 years. That's blown my mind.
I mean, I haven't thought about it for about 10 years either. And I put it on and I was like, yes, still hits. I mean, look, when I was like 15, 16, managed to convince my mom to let me go on holiday with the girls. And, you know, we would just go to these islands, you know, and like, Greece, like Ayia Napa, like horrible places that no one should ever let their children go, but we went. And this song, I mean, every night we'd hear it like 20 times. It was just the song, the anthem of the trip.
Yeah,
clubbing. Yeah, and then just in London, shitty club, I don't even know what it was called, in like, you know, like the one club in the slightly bigger town.
Yeah.
You grew up in, like, sticky floor, bouncer that for sure knows that you look nothing like, I don't know, Louise on your fake ID. And you just went in and, yeah, it's a Day and Night. Kid Cudi, such a tune.
What did you want from a nightclub in?
What did I want? To dance and get fucked up. At that time.
Yeah.
It's just the truth. I mean, there was nothing else to do. Mm. You know, like I said, I mean, at the, where we lived, it was like, well, you're a teenager. What are you going to do? We just like, you know, and it would be like a Tuesday night because it was like student night.
Yeah.
So we would like look forward to this every week. And it would just was just like a place where everyone would gather together, all your friends and like the cute boys from the other school and the other town. And it was just like this hub of, for me as well, like finding, meeting new people. It's not just like from your town. It's like, whoa, the world's opening up a bit. We just had a good time, you know, got too drunk, did all the things that you're supposed to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but that changed. I mean, changed when I moved to London. I feel like a lot of things changed, you know, just my world completely expanded. And it was like different types of clubs. I feel like, you know, the song that was just everywhere, you couldn't escape, when I was in London was We Found Love, Calvin Harris, Rihanna. Such a good song.
It's a brilliant pop record, that.
Brilliant pop song. And just, you know, again, just a short but iconic intro. When you hear two notes.
Yeah.
Just two notes. But, it, you know, had you heard. And it, I feel like when I started going clubbing in London, I would observe a lot. You know, I was like fully in music at this point, and I like to kind of just like as well, like pay attention to the songs that people would react to.
Sure.
Like getting up, and that song was like every fucking girl in the room was just like off their asses on the dance floor, just like screaming.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Yeah.
So I'm going to take you home now for track six and ask you to tell me your favourite song from an artist from your, I've put county, but I think you thought country, but that's fine because you'll be number 271 of the 300 people that have done this podcast. Why I don't put county in huge block capitals and underline it, because everyone does it, so don't worry. So we go country.
That is so funny. Yeah, I can't read. From my, I don't even know who came from my county. No one. Me.
Let's go country then. So I'm going to double it up then. So you're in the States at the moment.
Yeah.
So I want someone from there and I want someone from the UK.
Okay. Favorite song from an artist. Mm-hmm. And I only get one.
You get two. You're spoiled. You get one in America and you get one in the UK.
Okay. I gotta say, Imagine.
Yeah, that'd do it.
Yeah. John Lennon. I mean, what a powerful song. Lyrically, still stands today. Now more than ever, it just, you know, again, a song that's really, really stood the test of time.
And how mad that a song so simple as that isn't missing anything. Whatever producer you could add to that, nothing would make that sound any better. It's so simple, but it doesn't need anything. It's just in its own right, just perfection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His voice. Such a special voice. I love that he's, I feel like he's just not even over singing at all. He just is almost, you know, talking at some points in the record. And, you know, there's no thrills. It's just the words.
And there's a real sort of fragility in Lennon's voice on that track that I think just adds to the kind of the emotion in it. I think it's, yeah, it's wonderful.
One of my favorite lyrics of all time. They may say, I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one.
Perfect.
I love that.
Perfect. What about if I'm going to push you for a track from the States?
God, that's really hard. From the States. Okay, can I flip the script?
Go for it.
Give you one from Cambodia.
Oh, just yeah, absolutely.
I feel like, I just feel for the listeners, it's just, you know, a chance to discover something completely new and wild and out there. So a band called The Draka, D-R-A-K-K-A-R. It's my uncle's band. And from the, you know, they were putting out music from like the late 60s to early 70s in Cambodia before the war hit and the genocide. So this song is called Have You No Mercy. And it is just such a cool song. If you like the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, the Beach Boys, like you're going to love their music. Like it sounds like it should be in like a Tarantino film, very sort of like psychedelic rock. But this one particular song is really beautiful.
Brilliant.
You should check it out.
For the last song, you get to be tastemaker again. And I'm going to ask you, please, for a song that many may not know that you would like them to hear, please.
Okay. So it's got to be Nothing's Gonna Hurt You, Baby by Cigarettes After Sex.
Okay.
You know, I was like looking at it yesterday and I was like, shit, this is actually streamed a lot. You know, they've got hundreds of millions of plays, but still, whenever I like tell people about this band or this song, you know, most people are like, who, what? A lot of people, you know, really, really, really cool song. I first heard it in that movie, A Place Beyond the Pines. I don't know if you've seen it. Ryan Gosling, Eva Mendes. So good. And actually, I just watched Promising Young Women. Have you seen that movie?
I haven't, no.
Okay. Amazing movie. English director. It's with Carey Mulligan. And it just won, he just won Oscar for Best Picture. And it's in that movie too. This song, it's just so haunting and sexy, but dark. It's like, this is like my go-to band for just kind of chilling at home when I've got like the lights low, like just, you know, hanging out.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
So in regards to kind of music and mood, it's something that I like to ask guests as well. If you're having a day where you're feeling low, you're feeling blue, do you go and reach for the Best of S Club 7 and try and G yourself along? Or will you go and find something somber and immerse yourself in that emotion and process it and enjoy? Not enjoy, but like... immerse and hug that kind of feeling for a little bit with some music that sits right with it.
I kind of like to lean into it. Mm. You know, just like, you know, I'm not putting on like a power ballad that's like, you know, but like just like kind of somber and chill. Yeah, I think... sometimes it's nice to just allow yourself to feel what you're feeling, and music can heighten that and encourage that. You know, sometimes it's, am I the only one that, you know, if you're feeling like a little sad or depressed, it's nice to put a like depressing song on and just like hide under the covers for like 10 minutes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That right?
Of course. I'm terrible for it. Like, I mean, I don't even need to be in a bad mood. I just listen to miserable music.
It feels so good.
My kids get in the car and they're like, what is this? And I'm like, it's Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. And they're like, oh, come on, Dad, please.
You're like, Dad is going through something and he needs to enjoy music, okay?
I'm trying to process something. Do you mind?
Yeah, mind, asshole. No, I think it's nice. Also, like, set your you can also set your mood for the day a little bit. You know, I try and like especially this last year in quarantine. Again, you know, when we were stuck at home, you really have to be, you know, in charge of your day and like setting some sort of routine for yourself. Yeah. So we would like, you know, me and my boyfriend, and like he would do this early in the morning, but like all the speakers, all the songs would come on in the house and he'd put like, you know, Sister Sledge or some sort of soul or disco. And so yeah. We'd like wake up to that and it's nice. Just gets you moving.
Definitely.
Ain't in the right mood. Gets your body moving, a little serotonin.
Absolutely. Yeah. Noel Rogers is a good way to start the day. Anything that Noel Rogers has done, like, oh, that'd do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right after this.
Well, yeah. What we do as well, Liza, is we put together a Spotify playlist to accompany the podcast with all of your song choices, and we'll put some of your tunes on there as well. As we find ourselves... for the purpose of listeners as well, we're recording this on the 30th of April 21, as we find ourselves hopefully on a very positive path out of this strange year that we've had, and soon we'll be able to get back to going to gigs and clubs and reconnecting with people and hugging our friends. What are you looking forward to personally, and what's going to be happening professionally?
I'm so looking forward to going to shows. I need to see some live music. I am just so ready for that. And to playing shows and going to shows. Like, you know, I'm on the verge of just buying tickets for shit I don't even like. It's like, just let's go. So yeah, just really looking forward to that. And obviously, you know, personally, seeing family. Like, I think by the time all is said and done, it might be like 2 years almost before I can get to them, which is the longest time ever in my whole life that I've been away from my family. So that is going to be so incredible. Yeah, professionally, like I said, doing shows, we're starting to, you know, get the band back and prepare for some stuff and, releasing more music. My debut EP comes out this year, and which I'm so excited about.
If people want to keep up to speed on shows and releases, where's the best place to keep up to speed with Liza Owen?
On my Instagram. This is where I'm most active. Yeah, and it's at Liza Owen.
Very wonderful. Recent. And if it's cool with you, when this comes out, we tag you in it and then people can go and follow you if they don't follow you already.
Yes, please. Thank you. This has been so fun.
Liza, it's been a delight. It's been so much fun. Thank you so much for your time and today, mate.
We made it. We made it happen.
Absolutely. Liza, thank you so much.
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
There you go. Wonderful. Oh, Liza was an absolute joy to talk to. What a diverse range of influences and music that was discussed on that episode, and with real excitement and joy. And that's what this podcast is about, speaking to wonderful creatives that feel that kind of passion and love and excitement, and about music and how it's impacted, you know, on their life's journey. And yeah, so thanks again to Liza for her time. Thanks to you, lovely lot, for listening. As mentioned at the beginning, go and explore the back catalogue now, because there's 300 episodes with some of your favourite bands, DJs, producers, comedians, everything, artists, everything. Go and get stuck in. You can find out about everything you need to know about this podcast at www.offthebeatand. It's not beaten, it's beatandtrackpodcast.com. Right, I'll see you next time. Be excellent to each other. Much love. Bye-bye.
It's Off the Beat and Track Podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. Keep me, Stu Whiffin.